I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Like a party in here.
I like it.
Why?
Because everybody's here.
There's,
well, not everybody.
Half of us.
Yeah.
We've got, who's in here today? Phoenix, do you have anything to say?
Nope,
nothing.
Phoenix is here today.
Heidi's here.
Heidi's here.
Brittany's
here.
I'm here.
Unfortunately.
Lou's at school.
Oh, he just burped right into the mic. Did you hear that? Oh, that was me. Oh, okay, babe. I'm serious. Did you guys hear that?
We will.
Right into the mic.
Good boy.
God, mommy loves you.
Good boy.
For those of you who cannot see, which is all of you, he's huge.
He's an animal.
He's a big boy.
He's a monster. He
Very
is
cute.
Just, I don't even understand. But someone, we were at the nail salon the other day, right? And Heidi had Phoenix and I had Lou. And the woman goes, oh, same age? I was like, no, that one's 2.5 and this one is 6 months. Yeah,
wow. No, he's a beast, man. Kid's an animal.
Very cute
I
little
know.
Boy.
Yeah. So I thought that we would talk a little bit about balance and how to find it in your life, or let's just say with your diet. Because I've been working on this book, and it's not going to be out till February, but I think we're going to call it The Slim Code. And it's a whole kind of list of tips and strategies that you can utilize in every aspect of your life to get slim, essentially, right? And it kind of covers everything. It doesn't kind of. It covers everything. If you hit a plateau, here's a bunch of things you need to do.
Girl, you get so many questions on plateaus.
If you, but it's everything, Janice. Yeah. It's like on the go. If you're working, if you're traveling, at home, cooking, shopping, food labels, eating out at restaurants, parties, everything, everything. What you should do at the gym, what you, you know, ways to curb hunger, ways to crush cravings. And the thing is, there's like 300 plus, I don't want to call them tips because it makes them seem insignificant, but like 300 plus tips in the book. It's a 270-page friggin' book, right? And I start off and I say, like, look, don't panic. The whole idea here is for you to read this and see which of these strategies resonate with you so you can incorporate them into your life without being stressed. That's the whole point. It's easy lifestyle strategies to help you get to slim and avoid pitfalls. And
Then I say, okay, each tip has a score, because there are some of these tips or points or strategies that are going to impact your weight more than others, right? I mean, for example, if you decide that you're going to do high-intensity interval training, well, that's on a scale of 1 to 3, 3 being the highest, that's a 3-point tip. That's going to make a big deal.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But if you decide that you're going to eat off of a 10-inch plate instead of a 16-inch plate, well, yeah, that can help you eat less, but it's going to be a 1-point tip. So at the end of the book, I basically help you tally like where you fall according to how many tips you've chosen and which tips you've chosen, right? The quality of the tips you've chosen. So you have a little score at the end of every chapter, and at the end of the book, you add up your total score, and then we look at the percentage of tips that you've chosen to engage. And so I got through the whole thing, and then my editor goes, okay, well, how often do they need to do this? Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that maybe that wasn't obvious. And a good answer for that is 80% of the time. So, you know, we talk about like eating junk food or having treats or working higher calorie foods into your diet. And I'll say, you know, practice the 80-20 rule. 80% of the time, eat great. 20% of the time, eat something not so great. So let's say one out of every, my son's got his hands clasped around my face.
He's cupping her chin.
Anyway, my point is, can you please pay attention? I'd appreciate it. Thank you. My point is that let's say you have 5 good meals and 1 crap meal, right? And that's if you're kind of going, whoa, I'm having wings with the boys at the game or the girls or whatever at the game on Sunday, or it's happy hour Friday night and I'm going to town, or it's the company Christmas party. I'm going to go nuts. So, well, all right. So make 5 meals great and 1 meal like, whoa, look out, watch yourself. Or another thing that you can do is make 20% of your daily calorie allowance treat foods. So let's say you have 1,800 calories to play with. Well, make 20% of that calorie allowance, like 360 calories, whatever you want. Granted, I prefer you go chemical free. You know, I prefer you have organic ice cream instead of, you know, crap ice cream. But with this is a general rule, though, overall with healthy habits. You don't need to get to the gym every single day. Think about it. If you follow an 80-20 rule, then, you know, you take a couple days off a week. You don't need to go 100% all the time. If 80% of the time you're giving it everything you've got and 20% of the time you're on the elliptical, it's not going to be the...
That's right. In a way, you are reinventing because you're giving people a system.
I just want a guideline. I'm trying to give them a general idea of how often they should be focused and when to, what do you say? You say loosen the bone?
Loosen the bone,
Wilma.
When
to loosen the bone, man. Life should be fun.
Yeah.
Life should be fun. You people always say food is not, you know, food is fuel. It's a lot more than fuel. You should enjoy your food. Mm. You know, and again,
yeah, how interesting.
It's like I see so many people that are so stressed out all the time and they think they've got to be perfect all the time. And then they have the candy bar at the office and they're like, I blew it. I blew my diet. Yeah. That's not blowing it. You can't live perfectly all of the time. You can't be 100% healthy all of the time. It's not possible. Even with like organics, you know, I'm a Nazi about organics, but I eat out. I mean, like we have sushi in front of us, right? Brittany picked us up sushi for lunch today. Who knows? You know, I'm sure there's mercury in that tuna and I'm sure they put mayo in the spicy tuna and whatever, even though I said light mayo. And you know, I'm sure that rice isn't organic and is sprayed with pesticides. Okay. I mean, I'm not thrilled, but I eat really well 80% of the time.
Gotcha.
That's how I want people to think. The 80% rule. So look at your life right now and think about where you could kind of loosen the bone a little bit and how you could find more of that 80-20 kind of balance. Obviously, the 80 being the healthier percentage of the time. Huh? Yeah. No?
No, you said something really about how people, when people shove food in their mouth, just thinking it's fuel. Like,
that's a bummer.
I mean, I know with all the Cooking Network, people have rediscovered cooking and food, but it can't just be shovel it. Because sometimes I just get it in. I'm so hungry, just get it in, and I don't think about it's food.
Well, nor like a lot of people, like, when they're dieting, they try to get into this headspace of food is fuel. It's not to be enjoyed. Bad, bad. You know, and the reality is it is to be enjoyed, but it shouldn't be the only thing you live for. It shouldn't be the only reward right. in your day, which I think a lot of people do because they're strapped financially and they don't have the time. So it's not like they can say, you know what, Saturday I'm going to get myself a massage at the spa. Oh, all right. Yeah, for $200.
Yeah.
And with what time? You're taking the kids to soccer practice. You're going in to do some overtime at the office because everybody else is and you don't want to lose your job. And so people say, oh, I deserve this burrito. It's the thing they look forward to in their day. They can fit it in with time. They can afford it. And it's their treat. I'll never forget this. And I should be real careful what I'm saying here. But Bob and I were on a talk show together once with a very, very, very famous person. And this famous person during the break had a soda, right? And it was a diet soda.
I'm just so excited about this story.
It's not a genius story,
no,
but I mean,
it just makes me giggle.
But Bob, I saw Bob and he was going to go in for the kill on it, right? And I was like, oh, don't do this. This would be a huge mistake, right? I just was like, please, God, don't say anything. And he said, you know, I don't want to give it away who it is, but he basically was like, does this person that you know who's a doctor, does this person who's the doctor know that you're drinking that stuff? You know, and he wasn't trying to be a dick about it. He was trying to kind of like make conversation. But yeah, that's exactly right. And she looked up from her little cards and looked at him. Yeah, dude, that's exactly what she did. And she gave him the side eyes and said, it's my treat. And I was like, oh, crap. Son of a bitch. This interview's over. And
what way is the door?
Yeah.
Right there.
I'm like, okay, security's coming to escort us out right now. But I remember thinking, like, wow, there's some heavy psychology going on there. Like, it was I deserve it, and it's my treat, and it's just a diet soda, and piss off, Bob. But I think a lot of people get into that sort of idea with food of like, it's my, you can't take it. It's what I give to myself. It's my thing. It's my time.
It's the only thing I get.
It's the only thing I get. Yeah, exactly. That attitude I don't want you to have. I don't want you to live for the only thing you get. You've got to find other ways. So if it's the, you know, then you got to make time for the gym. Have your partner or your significant other or whoever watch the kids and trade off. Ask the grandparents to watch the kids. Get a sitter, man, once a week. It's like, come on, for an hour for you to go for a run? How much can it be? $15? It's like, I get times are tough, but you got to find other ways to treat yourself.
What? Is there something you want to say? Anything else? No? You want to wrap it up?
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Those days are over. You don't have to sell your body to the night. Roxanne, you don't have to wear that dress tonight. Walk the streets for money.
Thank you, Phoenix, very much for your...
For the intro.
For the intro. Yes, my son decided to introduce me just now in our new segment, which is 6 ways to cancer-proof your home. And I wanted to make this real quick and simple for you, but one of the things you need to remember, and I've said this a lot of these chemicals that cause cancer, well, they're also considered obesogens. They also disrupt your endocrine system, so not only will they kill you, cause the genetic mutation of your cells, but they also dramatically impact the way your body burns fat, stores fat, maintains lean muscle. So if you were thinking, Jillian, I don't really care about getting cancer. I just want to know how to get skinny. I've got it all.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had to set it up that way. The first one's really easy. Get rid of your nonstick cookware, man. And I know this seems kind of counterproductive because you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't want to use all this oil and I don't want to use all this butter. Real simple. The problem with the Teflon, when you heat over 300 degrees and or if it's getting scratched,
yes,
is that it's toxic. It's super toxic. It's got this thing called PFOA. It's like perfluorooctanoic acid something. Exactly. See, my son doesn't like it either, which is bad. So here's what you can do. You use glass. You use cast iron. I really like iron because some of that iron actually leaches into your food, which is good for you. You can use copper. You can use ceramic. You can use porcelain. You can use titanium, which is expensive. Titanium is expensive, but all good options.
What can I use so I don't burn my rice?
Right. So here's what you want to do. You get a little olive oil mister.
Yep.
And you just give a little mist, a little spray. Another thing I'll do with eggs in the morning, we get organic butter, and then I just take the stick of butter and I just lightly grease the pan with it. So I don't put like the whole pat in there. It doesn't swim in oil, but I just lightly grease the pan.
Yep.
And the other thing about when you cook, it's also a matter of, yes, the amount of oil you cook in matters if you're going to pour, like if you're sauteing food and you pour the oil that you cooked in into the dish.
Yes.
Yeah, then you're eating it. But when you're cooking foods and you're sauteing them, it really isn't necessarily the amount of oil overall, but the time you cook it in. The longer you cook the food in the oil, the more oil it absorbs. So I do both. I use less oil and I cook it in the pan for a shorter period of time.
So you're eating things a little bit more blanched than, like, if you were to stir, like, put broccoli in, it's not quite, like, soft. It's blanched.
Well, I cook broccoli a little bit different.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll usually, like, I actually put broccoli in the microwave. Here's why. Because you're not cooking it in the water. Like, have you ever noticed when you make your vegetables and the water's green?
Yes.
That's a lot of the nutrients from your food. But you want to cook your food because the cell fibers, it helps make it more digestible. If you've ever eaten raw cruciferous vegetables, you are gassy. Woo! Look out! So it's actually good to cook it, but you don't want to overcook it so it loses the nutrients. But many foods that you cook will actually be more bioavailable, like tomatoes, lycopene, is more bioavailable when it's cooked. Cruciferous vegetables are goitrogenic. They attack your thyroid unless they're lightly cooked. So lightly cooking, I cook my veggies usually in the microwave.
Yeah.
All right, next one. Ready?
Yep.
Makeup. So I've had Paige Pageant on, my makeup artist. Mm-hmm. She's been on a lot. Here's the thing. Makeup's got a lot of chemicals in it, man. Formaldehyde, mercury, lead, parabens, all kinds of junk. I could petroleum. I could go on and on and on. The thing is, there are a lot of green brands out there now. I've put lists of them from Paige, actually, in various books of mine, whether it's Master Metabolism or the Master Metabolism Calorie Counter. But you can go to PaigePageant.com, and Paige has all the different green brands that you can switch to. And you get to remove all of that junk.
Parfum. Remember when she talked about parfum that time?
I know, yeah. Parfum. Bad
horrible
for you. All chemicals.
Yeah.
But the thing is, here's what's so ironic, is that you spend like a couple $100 or $50 or whatever you're spending on a face cream, thinking like, oh, this is going to make me young. But it's not. It's all chemicals. You know what you can use to moisturize your face is olive oil. It's cheap. It's really, really good for you. Because remember, your skin is transdermal. These chemicals pass through your skin and into your body. Olive oil is a great moisturizer. Brown sugar scrub, great for your face to exfoliate. Dead sea salt for a body exfoliator with some like essential oils like lavender.
Remember the
avocado is a good moisturizer.
The Eastern Bloc dermatologist I went to, she got really pissed at me.
Why?
Because I was using face cream. I said, well, what face cream? Because I had I got a little bit of rosacea, and I said, well, what face cream should I? You know, because I'm an aged woman.
Yeah.
And she said, don't be stupid. And I said, oh, ma'am. And I kind of stood there at kind of semi-attention.
Yeah.
And she said, you just wash your face. You don't even put moisturizer on. She was mad. So she said, use Dove soap. And I kind of went, Dove soap. And then like a
sun. Antibacterial.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's it. She said, why you spent all this money? Stupid. I wanted to say, well, I'm not that stupid. Yes, you're stupid.
Yeah, wow.
But very simple, like bare bone basic stuff to put on your face.
Yeah. You want to keep it clean, natural.
Yeah.
It's true. And same thing, like your hygiene, your beauty. Go to PagePageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSpageSp money. Here's the good news. Stay away from, you don't need bottled water. The truth of the matter is you can check the quality of your tap water. Google, wherever you live, Los Angeles, tap water quality. And it'll take you to a site where you can check the quality of your tap. But tap water is better regulated than bottled water. I mean, if you can afford, like, the ionized water and the alkaline water, okay, great. You know, awesome. That's cool. Good for you. But the problem with the plastics, bisphenol A, BPA, you want to be really careful about this. So it doesn't even necessarily have to be in your bottled water. It's on the inside of cans. You want to be really careful with canned goods. Some brands are BPA free, but you need to look. So you want to, and you don't want to ever heat your food in plastic. I've said it a million times. Yeah. You want to be real careful because it'll leach into the food. Use a metal water bottle. Use a filtered water pitcher or one of those carbon filters. Cook your food, microwave your food in glass or ceramic. And again, by the way, not just cancer, BPA, also considered an obesogen, also contributes to weight gain. A lot of studies on it.
And that's for your animal, too. When yeah. you're giving your animal the bowls.
Yeah.
Like I got in trouble for...
I do stainless. Is stainless bad? Oh, it's bad?
It's not good.
Stainless?
I changed from stainless to...
What's wrong with
to
stainless?
Pyrex.
Shut up.
Well, that's my holistic where Ellie got the acupuncture.
Stainless? Why?
Maybe it has something to do with the acupuncture, but she said get rid of your stainless bowls for your dog and use glass.
Shut up. Yeah. Interesting. All right. Next one. Clean Green. We've talked about this. You spend so much money on cleaning products and they're uber toxic, man. Just go on the web and check out like green cleaning. There's a ton of things you can do with lemon, white vinegar, baking soda that are completely non-toxic. You can do just about everything. Unclog drains, wash your clothes. You can use olive oil and like a little essential oil to wax your floors or use as furniture polish. I mean, you could do just about anything with those ingredients. And lemon juice, white vinegar, obviously water, baking soda. And to polish things, olive oil with essential oils. And it's so cheap. It'll save you a fortune.
No kidding.
And it's totally non-toxic. Because, yeah, that stuff is brutal. You want to be real careful, man. Those cleaners, they're toxic to your lungs, your kidneys. They're so carcinogenic. My poor housekeeper, we switched everything over. Oh, hello, Phoenix. And if you don't have time to do that yourself, like make those little concoctions, which by the way takes 2 minutes, but if you don't, there are brands like Seventh Generation and Myers cleaning products that are green. You can use those too. All right, paint. We painted the baby's room in a paint that is VOC free, volatile organic compounds. You want to be real careful about the paint you use on your house. It's super toxic and it lasts forever. So there is a brand that people like called Mythic People, the green people. This brand contains no toxins or carcinogens. Mythic, if you're going to paint your house, check it out. And make sure that you use something that's VOC-free, especially if you're doing a nursery. Gardening chemicals. Be really careful about weed killers like Roundup, things of that nature.
They banned Roundup. You can't buy it.
Did they really? Yeah. Well, by the way, they just spray a more intense version of Roundup on the food we eat that we buy in the stores if it's not organic. But the key is to learn to garden organically. Pull your weeds by hand. Honey, what do you do if you have pest problems? What's that beer trick you did?
Floods for slugs.
And?
They drown in there.
Honey, don't. What are you doing? You didn't tell me they drown in there. You said it attracted them.
It does, but then they go in and then they drown.
At least they're drunk, though.
Babe, you're a savage. You know, you look like you're this sweet, innocent, little loving earth mother, but you're really a killer.
And all the other slugs are out there going, shower, shower. There's one really drunk slug in there like, yeah, where's my purse? Who's doing my purse? Ow, I think my heels all screwed up. Come on. Let's go eat. Heidi's leaves. Come on, it'll be fun. Come on. I will drive.
Okay, that's enough. Yeah, we're done. Okay.
Yes?
I thought we'd talk a little fitness.
Oh! And I didn't even have to ask you.
No.
Fantastic.
No. Yeah. All right, so a couple of new studies came out.
Okay.
And I thought we'd just go over them.
Okay.
So, all right. So the first one is that exercise boosts your brain power. Weight training and interval training, high-intensity interval training, are supposed to strengthen your memory. This is new research out of the University of Montreal. They had 6 study participants who were overweight and obese. They followed a 4-month training plan that included 2 sessions of 40-minute high-intensity interval training. This is cardio. Well, I work high-intensity intervals into my strength training, but traditionally speaking, when they'll say high-intensity interval training, they tend to mean like sprint work,
okay,
cardio sprint work. And they did 2 30-minute circuit weight training sessions and 1 moderate-intensity workout per week. Of course, they lost weight. They increased their maximum oxygen intake, but they also experienced a 10 to 25% improvement in brain functions, like processing speed, recall, and their short-term memory.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that cool? Although it's not working for me at all. But I mean, I must be really stupid without the exercise, but I thought that was really cool. And basically, they say they can't be sure without a larger study if it's the interval training that's solely responsible, or the combination of the intervals and the weights. But they definitely recommend the interval training. And so I thought I might just give you a little tip to start you off.
Maybe because bursts of blood are going to your brain.
Well, when you interval train, what you're doing is you're essentially forcing your body. There's a lot of different ways of doing it. There's Tabata training, which is 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off, and you're supposed to do that for 8 minutes. Or you can do a 30-second interval and then 30 seconds off. Or you can do a 30-second interval and then a minute off. Some people will do 1 minute on and 30 seconds off. It just depends on your fitness level.
Which one do you do, or have you done?
I do Tabata.
You do it. Okay.
I do Tabata a lot. If I do my cardio, I'll do Tabata. And if I don't do Tabata, I usually like 30 seconds on, 30 seconds at 50% intensity. I never stop training.
Oh, okay.
So I'll usually do, let's say, unless I'm running sprints, in which case it's a real bitch to get the treadmill from 9 miles an hour to 3 miles an hour to 9 miles an hour. So if I'm running sprints for 30 seconds, I'll do like 30 on, 30 off, 30 on, 30 off. With that said, here's what I would do. Do a 1-to-2 ratio if you're starting out. Do 30 seconds on, 1 minute off, 30 seconds on, 1 minute off. And I want you to check your heart rate. So here's what I want you to do. To get your maximum heart rate, subtract your age from the number 220. I'm 182. So 182 is my maximum heart rate, right?
Okay.
So when I do my intervals, I want to work between 85% of that number. So I would multiply 0.85 by 182. I'll do that right now. Hang on. Times. This one I have to use a calculator for. So 155, right? So I want to work between 155 and 182 when I'm doing my intervals. I like to get like 90%. I like to get my heart rate up to about 175. I like to push. Then
wow, that's high.
That's like you want to. It's a high intensity interval. That's what you want to do. You want to work towards your maximum. So then, here's a good way to gauge your recovery. When your recovery comes back down to, let's say, 65%, that's when you should start again. So for me, for example, what I would want to do is check my heart rate, and when my heart rate's 118, that's when I go again. I run again. So, does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it
okay,
does.
So here's how you check it. All you got to do is put your fingers on your pulse, right, on your wrist, which is actually safer. And it's usually follow your thumb down. It's like right underneath. Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like you follow your thumb all the way down, and that's the side where you should usually feel it. Count the beats for 6 seconds,
yep,
and then multiply by 10. So if I get 12 or 11 beats, I'm at 118, 120. Okay, so what I want you to do is figure out what your maximum heart rate is. Remember, it's just 220 minus your age, okay?
Right.
And then multiply that by 0.85. You work between the 0.85 number and your maximum heart rate. So for me, it's 154 to 182. When you're running your buns off, right? You want to get off, check it right away. Okay, it should be in that zone. If it's not in that zone, up the intensity that you're running or sprinting or mountain climbing or whatever it is. Up your speed or intensity to get it higher. Then wait and check it. Check it in 30 seconds. See if it's gone down to 0.65 of your maximum heart rate. Multiply your maximum heart rate by 0.65. Mine's 118. So count the beats for 6 seconds. And it should be 11 or 12 at the end, because you're multiplying by 10, remember. So once you get down to about 0.65, you need to run again. That's how you know how long to give yourself a recovery.
And how long would you do this for? Like half an hour?
They say to do Tabata training for 8 minutes, although people do it for an hour. I can't really recommend that.
Yeah, I've seen classes. It's like,
and it's kind of like if you can do the Tabata training for an hour, you're not working at a high enough intensity. You're not supposed to be able to do it for an hour.
Okay.
So if you're running at a 7 for 20 seconds on and then you're jumping off for 10 seconds and you can do that for an hour, well, then you need to be running at a 10.
Gotcha.
So yeah.
Average wise.
But 30 on, 30 off.
Yeah.
You can do that for an hour. I mean, I don't usually. It's not necessary. I'll usually do it for 30 minutes and it's totally fine. Gotcha. Even though I don't really do a ton of cardio, what I'll do is I'll work my high intensity intervals into a strength training circuit. So I'll do my push-ups, my squats, my this, my that, my this. Time for an interval, jump rope. Time for an interval, mountain climber. Time for an interval, butt kicks. Things like that.
Gotcha.
So that's how you should start. And here is the next one. So you've got all these a-holes that have been around forever that say, oh, don't exercise. It makes you hungry.
Yeah.
I mean, really? God, you're such an a-hole. And, of course, they're always selling something. In my program, you don't have to exercise because exercise makes you hungry. So if you do what I say, I mean, it's like, wow, how convenient. I don't know. I've taken hundreds and hundreds of pounds off of people through exercise. I don't know what happened. Call me crazy. But now, thank God. So here's where they were getting that from. A lot of previous research had suggested that people would get through a really intense workout and they would reward themselves with food. And I do that. Mm-hmm. I do it, but I'm not trying to lose weight. So if I worked out with one of my contestants the other day, and we worked out for obviously a long time, and I was like, oh, I can have whatever I want for dinner tonight. Well, sure, I can. I'm not trying to lose weight. So I was like, I burned a ton of calories. I got a ton of calories left to eat. If I'm trying to lose weight, though, it's a different story. I need to work out and then not compensate with more food so that I burn stored fat. So the idea is that people will get a really crazy workout and then say like, oh, I've earned it. And in some cases, maybe you have. If you're maintaining your weight, then sure, you've earned it. Good for you. But for those who are trying to lose weight where they say, oh, no, you know, exercise makes you hungry. Actually, all of the current research is showing the opposite, that exercise can definitely suppress hunger. And this comes from a guy named Barry Braun. He's a PhD. He works in a laboratory at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, and he's co-authored multiple studies on the subject. And this guy, it's all about a hormone game, and I'm going to try to read this to you, even though it's not going to make sense to either of us. But what he says is that he knows that workouts trigger changes in the hunger hormone acylated ghrelin. Well, ghrelin actually increases your hunger, right? And the satiety hormones, PYY and GLP-1. Well, satiety hormones are hormones that make you feel more full. So essentially what they do is they decrease your ghrelin and they increase your satiety hormones that make you feel more full. Then there was another study that was recently published in the Journal of Metabolism that found that perceived fullness essentially was higher in participants who had done a 12-week aerobic training workout, 12 weeks of aerobic training.
Right.
Their perceived feeling of fullness was higher than those who didn't do the 12 weeks of aerobic training. There was another study out of Brigham Young University that revealed that women appeared to be less interested in food on the mornings when they had walked on the treadmill for 45 minutes than on the days that they didn't. And part of that is what we call incompatible behavior. So my contestants, they don't want, like, they'll come to the ranch and they'll quit smoking. They'll quit binging. And the reason is because after you've just done this crazy workout and you feel really good and really proud of yourself and really healthy, you don't really want to go light up a smoke. You don't really want to go shove your face with pizza. You're feeling good. It's incompatible. It doesn't compute with the healthy behaviors you've just engaged in. So,
oh, that's interesting.
Anyway, really, I'm just reading this to you for the sole purpose of making sure you don't fall prey or victim to any of these charlatan scumbags out there who, you know, in their book, you know, exercise is bad and just eat as much as you want until you're full. Screw you. I hate it. I hate when they do that.
How do you really feel
God.
About
God. You know what? I'm going to write a book called The Magic Bullet Diet. Never work out again. Hold on. Because you know what? I need another beach house. Whatever. All right, I'm done.
Okay.
Done.
Okay.
Alone, listless, breakfast table in an otherwise empty room. A young girl, violins, center of...
We are back, and Lorraine would like to have a word with you. Lorraine, what's up?
Hi, Jillian.
Hi, bud.
I am glad. I couldn't believe when I saw your email because I was searching for your email before. We have a lady that takes care of my mom. She's in her 30s. She is, I hate to say this, morbidly obese.
Okay.
She's got to be close to 300, if not higher. She's got a huge apron that goes halfway down her, almost to her knees.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's got a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old and a 16-year-old. Now, she cooks for my mom, and she her food choices and her... It's just horrible. She cooks horribly for herself, for her kids, and now my mom.
Ooh.
And okay. Her 16-year-old is starting to get big.
Yeah.
Her little kids, I mean, I would stop by there, and then I, you know, and just this past Sunday, they're getting ready to go to church, and I said, oh, he's having Doritos for breakfast?
And she says,
oh, no, but he was eating Doritos. She says, we were shopping and they found these, like, pancakes and sausage on a stick.
What?
She said, and they're so good. The kids just love them and so does your mom. She said, and they're easy because they can eat them on their way to school and that. And she was warming one up for him to eat on the way to church.
God.
Yeah. And I want to know, I mean, I'm not real. I don't have a good filter.
Bless your heart.
Yeah,
I don't have a good filter, so I'm trying to figure out how can I tell her.
Okay.
You know, and what I've done so far is, like, I've gone on, like, WebMD and all recipes, and I've picked out very, because she doesn't know how to cook very well.
Okay, why is she cooking for your mom?
Well, my mom is 85 years old, and she can't be by herself.
Okay, how did we find the I don't know how to cook very well, and when I do cook, I'm unhealthy lady?
Yeah, how did we find her? She goes to my sister's church. My sister knows her, and her and her kids were living in a shelter.
Oh, no.
And
God.
She came and she...
Oh, my God,
yeah,
you're killing me.
I mean,
it just
gets worse and worse. And she came and asked if, you know, she could take care of my mom because they knew that we were looking for somebody to take care of my mom. My mom needs someone 24/7. My mom is... She just can't be by herself. She doesn't cook. She can't
that
cook,
I
but
get.
She's
that
okay by it, you know.
All right, okay. All right. You do have a point of entry here, believe it or not, and it is your mom. And so this is where it's your business. And here's what cuz the thing is, if you go in and you start making suggestions that she hasn't asked for, trust me, I'm the queen of knowing, you know, never, by the way, giving unsolicited advice because it pisses people off. So
yeah, it does.
I'll see people eating pure crap and I don't say anything because they didn't ask me for my help. They don't want it.
Yeah.
And I know that if they don't want my help, there's nothing I can do. Now, the kids do present a different problem. But the mom thing, you got a point of entry there. And what I would do... As I would say, bud, you know, she's 88, and I've been reading. Oh, Janice and I were just actually talking about something. You know, Janice's dad struggles with Alzheimer's, and Janice was reading about coconut oil and how they're having
use that. We do use that because my mom is in the early stages of dementia, so we have her cooking with coconut oil. She puts it on her toast and things like that.
Okay.
So
what you can do is you can say, pull a bunch of recipes. I'll send you a cookbook, too, Britt. Will you make a note to send her the Master Your Metabolism cookbook? I'm going to send you one of my cookbooks. It's all, like, clean, healthy, like, really good for you recipes. And say, look, I'm really worried about my mom's health, and
I want to make sure that she's eating good and she's eating low calorie mm-hmm. and this and that and clean food. Get into it that way.
Yeah.
And then you can segue into, you know, maybe when you're doing this for my mom, it'd be so much easier if you just did this for you and the kids, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, that's it. She cooks for everybody, so they all eat the same thing. Now, since she started, my mom was put back on Lasix because too much salt. She cooks a lot of processed food.
Oh, no. Lasix yeah. is bad.
I know.
Jesus.
I know. And so that's going to be a good opening. But and I've done that. I've actually done recipes and taken them to her, and I wrote the grocery list out.
And?
She bought one thing and forgot everything else. I said, I had four recipes here. Simple things you can put in the crock pot, very simple things.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got to make a decision here. And the thing is, I have to make these kinds of decisions a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it there are certain people that you are able to help, and there are certain people that you are not.
Right.
In order to help someone, number one, they have to want the help.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to be receptive to the information and the work that is required in implementing the help.
Yes.
So now we're talking about your mom. So you might want to have a little come to Jesus here of like, listen, I need you, when I give you the list of recipes, I need you to make it. I need you to follow the instructions.
Yeah.
This is an 88-year-old woman. You can go in that way.
Yeah.
If she is not receptive to you, or she's not responsive, or she's not hearing how important this is to you, you got a bigger problem. I mean, I know she's got kids and all of this, but you have an 88-year-old woman that needs to be eating as cleanly as possible.
Right.
So this might not work out. And while I understand, I love that you're giving her this opportunity, and I get that it's the Christian thing to do and all of that, and I don't want to seem insensitive, believe me, especially not while she's got three kids. But
right.
you know, I don't know, man. It's...
Well, and that's the thing. It's, I feel like we have to sit down and filter or no filter. You have to just come right out and lay it out on the table. You know, mom has to eat this way, and it's going to be better for you.
Yes, and I would say this.
You know? And that's what I thought. I honestly thought that, you know, she didn't get this big just from living in a shelter for 3 months.
No,
had been coming on. But I honestly felt that, okay, you're in a place now that's calm and relaxing. And
no, you don't understand, you know? Though. You got to think of it like this. It's likely that the very same issues that have led her to be morbidly obese are the very same things that brought her to a shelter. Or, you know, this stuff is deep, 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 I promise. If
right.
you were
and
to
that's
dig
why
into
she's
this.
In, she's at the church going through therapy and stuff.
Oh,
with,
good. Oh,
you know,
thank God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good news.
Right, right.
That's extremely positive.
And I'm sure a lot of it was, and it's probably exactly what you said, she ended up in a shelter because her husband was very abusive.
Right, well, and then, of course, why did she get in an abusive relationship? I'm sure she's repeating a pattern from her
right.
past. And
right.
Yeah. She could be a sexual abuse survivor. I mean, there's... this stuff is deep, man. It's
yeah.
so... It's very funny. We have a new producer on The Biggest Loser this season, who I actually happen to think is lovely. Executive producer, really good woman. But, you know, she went into this and had thought the whole show was about diet and exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's like, oh, my God. You know, she's starting to see it has nothing to do with diet and exercise.
No, and
yeah,
you're right.
Nothing.
I was laid off for 4 months, and I've been exercising for the last 12, 13 years. I only do it 4 days a week, but I
That's
aerobic
plenty,
two and lift two.
That's great.
But even when I was laid off, I was still gaining weight, even though I was doing my exercises. And it was all the depression and stuff
sure.
like that you get.
Yeah, absolutely. And people use food to varying degrees to cope
mm-hmm.
with emotions and stress as defense mechanisms and all of that. And that's not something that you're going to be able to unravel with her. So
right.
what I'm going to tell you is this. If she asks for help, which she hasn't, then you have an entry point. Your number one point, though, to go in is your mom. Mm-hmm. And you are employing her. It is a job. So it is more than expected and normal for you to demand the job be done a certain way. I would go in because it sounds like she's probably very fragile and has extremely a fragile ego and self-worth. And I would say, we appreciate everything you're doing and how much you care. But the situation is truly life-threatening because it is my mom and she's 88 and there is no real room for error here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need it done this way. The consequences of mistakes are too severe.
Right, right.
And I will help you map it out, this, that, and the other. Now, what you need to reconcile with yourself is what you're willing to tolerate and what you're not.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if it's like, well, she never comes around. You know, then it, all right, fine with you, or no, okay, not so fine. You've got to find someone else.
Right, right.
And the church maybe helps her find a different job. That's what you need to decide. You need to decide what your boundaries are. Moving on to her family, you won't be able to do anything until she's receptive to the information.
Right.
And as sad as it is, because you're looking at three kids, she's their mom.
You can't. I know.
And the more you try, and by the way, I've had this backfire on me with moms where I'm like, oh, come on, there's no excuse. And, you know, this is before I had kids. And what they love mm-hmm. to do is tell me, you don't know. You're not a parent. And you can't, man. They don't have the self-worth to hear that maybe they're not doing something right, even though we all don't do things right.
Right.
And then they attack you and go in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were hate boards dedicated to me after I was on the doctors, and they would say, these women would say stupid things like, I drove through Taco Bell today just thinking about how much it would piss off Jillian. And I was like,
oh my
wow
God.
You are one sick bitch.
Yeah,
good
like
luck.
Jillian cares that you're at Taco Bell.
I was like, well, I cared because of the kids, you know, like they were moms,
right?
And I was like, god damn, wow, okay lady. But the, you know, I care because, yeah, the kids, sure, they're kids. But what I would have to tell myself is, you know what, these kids are going to grow up and they're gonna get older and they're going to take responsibility and they're going to be able to make a change when they get older. That's what I did. That's what other kids have done. And that's what will have to happen here, because it can turn out that when you try to give unsolicited advice, people get pissed. They don't have the self-esteem to hear it. If they didn't ask for it, if they take it as an attack, and they go in the opposite direction.
Yeah, and you're right. I probably need to go in with an apology too, saying, hey, you know, I'm sorry that I've been kind of throwing this stuff on you, but you gotta understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah,
you know, it's my mom, and I can even say it's you, because
well, sure.
I know, put it on me.
Absolutely.
I mean, no one wants to be that big. I'm sorry. Except for maybe that stupid woman that says, I want to be the heaviest person on earth and eat.
But she's also, but that's the thing, bud. That's just a cry for help. She doesn't want to be that big.
Yeah, I mean, but no one wants to be like that.
No.
I mean, not when you go up a set of stairs and you are breathing like you've exercised for an hour and a half.
Go in, tell her, you know, if you've been riding her, I'm sorry if it seems like I've been riding you. It's coming from a place of concern. First and foremost, talk about your mom and how mm-hmm. serious that situation is. And then just say, and you know what? I've come to really care about you and care about your family. And I don't want to step in and stick my nose in where it doesn't belong. But if you are receptive, I thought this might be really nice for all of us together to get on a health kick.
Yeah.
Try that.
Yeah.
Okay, bud?
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
And
I
we'll
appreciate
send you a
it.
Cookbook. Janice is going to call you
yeah,
back
I'll
and get
you
your
back
info.
Okay.
All
okay,
right,
thanks a lot for talking with me.
All right, buddy. You have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Oh, situations are so tough because you want to say something and it's killing you to watch it, and then you feel like, well, there's kids, they're innocent, I should say something. And the best way to go about it, if there isn't a mother point of entry, you know, if it's you're not employing this person, it's just, I love you, I'm concerned. And then if they're receptive, they're receptive. If they're not, they're not. And there is nothing you can do.
But no, you're right. Her priorities are mom. Take care of your mom. That's your mom.
Yeah, well, that's she's got that little special kind of
Otherwise, she's gonna blame it on you.
I don't care.
I love
blame
that.
Blame it on me. I tell people that all the time.
I think it's great.
Blame it on me. Do what you have to do.
Can I do that with some situations with
be
me?
Be my guest, man.
Okay, I will.
Do what you got to do.
I say it's Jillian's fault.
That's fine.
I'm just as Jillian's
You wouldn't
fault.
Be the first.
I'm sure. Yeah.
I do it every day.
Everyone does it. You know that Jillian bitch. She,
yeah, no. Oh, she put no, me up to I'd this. Never say
no,
it literally like that.
No.
See, I say nice things about you as opposed to you.
You farted in my bag about 20 minutes
it
ago.
It was fun.
That was nice.
It was fun.
What do you mean that was nice?
Dang.
The fart in your bag.
It was a flower toot. It was a fun flower toot.
I highly doubt that flowers come out of your butt when you pass gas.
Well, anyways,
I mean, I'm pretty sure you burned a hole in it.
I just wouldn't open your bag for another couple hours. You know.
Okay.
We did have that sushi.
It's wheezing again. It hasn't wheezed a long
it's
time.
It's wheezing again.
It's wheezing.
Okay, we gotta go.
All right.
I'm excited to open up your bag. Oh. Hercules, Hercules, Hercules.
You should open it up now.
I know.
God, really? Like, do you have a gas mask?
Yeah, just for fun. Just for fun. Let's open. Just
take a
see
whiff.
If it's still in there.
Are you crazy?
Can I take a picture?
Yeah. You've already got a picture of Janice farting in my bag on Twitter.
All right. Just ready and.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.